Well, good morning. Happy New Year. How's everybody today? You know, I'm standing out there and worshiping God, and, you know, I come prepared with a message, but occasionally God will, you know, drop something down into my heart. And then my next question is this for me or is this to share? And I really believe it's to be shared, so I'm going to share it real quick before I start my message. But, you know, all of us approach a new year the same way physically. Right? It just comes. But you can't change the calendar, but how you enter into the new year depends on a lot on you, how you enter into the new year. And what he dropped down in my heart was it's the principle of sowing and reaping. And if you want to reap a better year, you need to sow better things. If you want to reap a healthier, maybe a more prosperous year. If you want to reap a trouble-free or less trouble year, sow less trouble. Amen. Right? Because it's like gravity. You can't deny it. What you sow, you will reap. And I talk to a lot of young people. I talk to a lot of old people that are reaping some negative, heavy, weighty things in their life. But really, honestly, we can go back and find where they sowed some things that they're now reaping. And so what I have to talk about today is something that you can start sowing today or tomorrow. And I'm just convinced that if you will sow what I'm getting ready to share, you're going to reap something really, really good for this year. And then sometimes just trouble comes at us for no reason at all. Or let's say we didn't start anything. We didn't start the problem. But God will send trouble. God will allow trouble to come in our life to test us to see, are we really strong? Are we really going to trust? There's always a test to measure our trust. And so what I'm going to share this morning, I would really challenge everybody to embrace and to sow it, put it into your life. And then throughout the year, we got to keep trusting in God to get us through whatever we go through. Amen? Amen. So, with that in mind, I'm starting a new series called 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. And fasting is a highlighted word. Notice prayer is a little skinnier. Because a lot of us pray, but very few of us fast. And I'm in this with you. This is not the physique of a man that fasts regularly. But God put it on my heart during my 21-day feast called Christmas. He said, why don't you follow it with a 21-day of fast? Just take the E out and focus on fasting. And so I think it's time to fast. Who loves to feast? That's why fasting is difficult. And I'm not saying, you know, go without totally, but would you consider going without as much and put into practice what I'm going to talk about today? This is going to be a three-week series, actually four Sundays, but 3 weeks. And I rarely do this. I rarely call the church to a fast, but I feel compelled to do that for this year. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I believe that if we will pray and fast, not just pray, but pray and fast, that we're going to experience some things that maybe we've never experienced before. And they're good things. They're God things. And so, for instance, I just wrote down a few of these. Who would like to grow closer to God this year? Listen, that's something that happens when you pray and fast. Who needs some kind of a breakthrough? Or you just need a break. Or you need something to change. Or you need a redo. Or you need some direction. It feels like you're at a dead end in your life. Or maybe you're at a crossroads. And you know that you can't stay the way you are, but you're not really sure. Do I go right? Do I go left? Do I go back? Some of us want to go back to things that we should not go back to, because we're afraid to trust God in going forward with some things that he's trying to call us to. Some of us need direction Some of us just need an answer to a prayer we've been praying for a long time. And maybe fasting will make the difference. So with that in mind, we're going to call the church to a 21-day period of fasting and praying with the hopes that we will get some breakthrough and we'll get some direction and we'll get some good spiritual things that normally we wouldn't get if we didn't put forth that extra effort to fast. But unlike feasting, fasting is a challenge. It can be a challenge. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you this morning and say, oh, it's easy if you're spiritual. Because our flesh has been in charge for a long time. And our flesh likes to be in charge. And our flesh likes to call the shots. And our flesh likes to run our schedule. And our appetites like to dictate to us. I'm living proof. I took after both my granddaddies. One ate a long time and the other one ate a whole bunch. And so that just comes to me naturally. And so I'll be the first to tell you that I'm going to be at the front of the line. I'm going to be fighting this good fight of faith, but it's a good fight. And it's a fight of faith. And good things are going to come if we'll put up the fight and put into practice some of the things that I'm going to share today. But the reason we avoid fasting is because we typically, it involves giving up things we enjoy. Like eating. Who loves to eat? There's a scripture in the Bible about buffeting your, well, that's what I thought it meant. It says to buffet your body. But really it means to buffet your body. It means to keep your flesh in check. And so I'm going to have to stop buffeting and start buffeting my body this new year. And I think a fast is a good way to get that started. Some of you about drinking alcohol. I talked to a guy recently. He said, I don't have a drinking problem. I have a problem not drinking. And so maybe if you can agree with that, you're saying maybe a fast will help break that cycle of that dependency of feeling like I can't go a day without it. Watching too much TV or watching the wrong kind of movies or playing too much video games. Listen, if you're over 21, you shouldn't spend all day playing games on a remote control and a TV. Right? I'm okay with playing games, but not where it consumes all your time and you're not doing the more important things like I'm going to talk about today. Social media, the same thing. I got off Facebook a couple years ago and it's really helped me. Now, the unfortunate thing is I miss out on all the great things that are happening that y'all share on Facebook, and maybe you're expecting me to answer and I never do. That's because I'm not on Facebook. But I'm not on Facebook for other better things, right? And so, and there's a list of other things. Whatever pleases your flesh, and whatever you do in excess might be on this list of things that you might think about, pray about, fasting from, so that you can fast for something better. It's not just fasting from things. It's fasting for something better. But in order to do that, you got to give up some things that are holding you back. In a sense, fasting is telling your flesh no. Right? You get those hunger pains. I'm already prepared. I know what they feel like. They come about every 2 hours. And I've been practicing for the last 2 days. No. And I look down, I talk to him. No. You're not going to run my life today. No. And we don't like to be told no. Your flesh does not like to be told no. But this is a great time to you know, it's like in a family where the kids run the show. Probably no families here at our church like that, but there's many of churches that have families where the kids run the show. They are the CEO of their family. And parents, you need to say, nope, you're not the CEO. We need to tell our bodies, we need to tell our flesh, our appetites, no, you're not in charge. So I want to kick it off with a message I've titled The Importance of Fasting. I'm going to talk about the why. I'm going to talk about the what and the how and the how long. And then in the coming weeks, I'm going to try to cover a lot of the scriptures in the Bible that speak to fasting, praying, and fasting, and why they fasted and the benefits that come from it. And hopefully over the next 21 days, we will be better at this thing that we've been avoiding. Can you say amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that convicts us of the truth and shows us when we're not in plumb with your word. Lord, I'll start as the leader of this church. I confess that my appetite many times runs the show, runs my schedule. It dictates my feelings and my emotions. And so I'm going to say no. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to say no. And I'm going to change. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to need you to give me the grace to say no. I need you to empower me for better things. There's a higher yes to the no that I'm going to be telling myself. And I pray that the results would be good. I know they will. I'm going to draw closer to you. My hearing's going to get better, both physical and spiritual hearing. My eyesight, I'll be able to see things spiritually better. And I'll be on the same page with you. I'll be in sync with you. That's my desire. And so have your way with me. Have your way with everybody in our church this month as we pursue you in a season of fasting and praying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 6. Fasting is all through the scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament. I've got a passage in both that'll help kickstart us. You might have heard the story about two lumberjacks. One was older, one was younger. And one day they were out cutting down some trees, and the younger lumberjack challenged the older lumberjack to a cutting down challenge. See who can cut down the most trees this day. And so the younger one was challenging the older one, thinking, you know, he's older, he's not as in good shape as I am. I'm gonna have a field day at this. The older man accepted the challenge. And so they both start their chainsaws, they start cutting away, and the younger lumberjack noticed that about every hour, for about 5 or 10 minutes, the older man would turn off his chainsaw. And he's thinking, I see, he's already getting tired. He needs a break. He's resting. And the young man just kept going and cutting and cutting and cutting and wouldn't stop, thinking, I'm going to whip this guy. And again, the next hour. And the next hour, he kept hearing the guy turn his chainsaw off. Well, when the end of the day came, they met back up at camp. And to the young lumberjack's surprise, the old lumberjack had cut down 30% more trees than the young one. And the young one said, now, wait a minute, how is that possible? You kept turning your saw off, and I never stopped. He said, yeah, young buck. He said, when I turned my saw off, it was to sharpen the blade. How does that relate to prayer and fasting? I believe that fasting is what sharpens our blade. And when we sharpen our spiritual blade, our ears and our eyes, it sharpens our focus, it sharpens our hearing. And like in that story, the old man got more done in less time and with less effort because he kept his blade sharp. And I'm just wondering if there's people here today, whether you're young or old, and you think, you know what, I've been working really hard. I work harder than most people, but it seems like I get less accomplished. Anybody relate to that? I'm a hard worker. I've been doing this a long time, but it just seems like I'm not as productive as I want to be or as other people are. It might be that you need to stop and sharpen your blade. It might be that you need to take that to the Lord in the next 21 days as you pray and fast and seek His help in that. Maybe fasting is the key that unlocks the door to something changing in your life. Amen? I brought my Christmas gift. This was from one of my sons. And I'm thinking, boy, that's complicated. Y'all know what this is. Some of you have a knife sharpener. Did you know this was a knife sharpener? Who has a knife sharpener like this? It's a good one. It's a really good one. You don't need to spend as much money on a knife sharpener, But if you do, it's a really good one. And what was interesting is I got this present on Christmas Eve from one of my sons. It was actually a white elephant gift. Not bad for a white elephant gift. And then I went to his deer lease, and I noticed that he had one at his deer lease. And I noticed that as he was cleaning his deer, about every 5 minutes he would stop, and he would sharpen that blade. Now, he had a really good knife. But if you've ever cleaned something with a knife, you know that eventually it gets what? It gets dull. Now, he could have stayed on that deer all day until he got it finished without ever sharpening his knife. But I noticed he realized the importance of stopping every so often and sharpening his knife so that the work he was doing on that deer would be easier, would be more efficient, would be faster, probably cleaner cuts. And same principle, right? He got more accomplished in less time and with less effort because he kept his blade sharp. Now, what's the spiritual application for us? I believe that if we'll begin to incorporate into our daily or weekly living as spiritual people the discipline of praying and fasting, we're going to experience a better life. And sometimes you can't predict it ahead of time. You just look back and go, boy, this year was better because, and you put those two dots together, and because I put God first, because I prayed and fasted. I believe that fasting makes a difference. And you can choose to believe that or not. You can choose to not fast at all. But for those that are you've heard, and in fact, maybe God's confirming in your spirit right now, this is it for you, this is it, this is the key, you better pay attention. I'm just going to hope and believe with you as I pray and fast that it's going to make a difference. And we're going to look back and go, boy, why haven't I ever done this before? It's like freedom. A lot of you went through John 10:10 freedom. We took, I see Chris here. Chris has been on our freedom team before. We took over 50 people through John 10:10 this year. And I didn't hear one complaint. Now, not all of them have finished the process, but it happens all the time. They'll say, why didn't I ever get this teaching before I came to Generations Church? And we say, I don't know, but you got it. Enjoy it. So I believe that if you will put into practice what you're going to hear today, I believe you're going to find that it's enjoyable, because what you get out of it is going to be far better than what you have to give up. Amen? So that's my suggestion for this new year. If you'll sow something differently, something better, I think you'll get something better. And I'm gonna commend that or challenge you that why don't you put into practice the discipline of praying and fasting this year in addition to some other things you need to do, okay? Some of you might be giving, right? You've been robbing God. You robbed God. You didn't have a great year because you robbed God. He's never going to bless you if you rob him, okay? But there are some disciplines. If you'll start sowing the right stuff, you'll reap the stuff that God wants to bless you with. So what is fasting? Let's start with a definition. Fasting is a biblical principle or discipline in which you deny yourself of something, and it could be physical nourishment. It could be something that gives your flesh pleasure. It doesn't always have to be food. But you're denying yourself something in the physical and in its place, seeking God for something spiritual. It's saying no to some physical things with the hopes that you'll say yes, or God will say yes to some spiritual things. Who knows that the physical can get in the way of the spiritual? The reverse is true. The spiritual can get in the way of the physical. Huh? Christians, before you became a Christian, it wasn't hard to get drunk and enjoy it. It's really hard to get drunk and enjoy it if you're a born-again believer. It goes both ways. And there's always this challenge between the physical and the spiritual. And it's not just giving up food. That's a diet. That's hunger, right? It's giving up something for something better. It's giving up something physical for something spiritual. Fasting means that you're willing to give up something you normally depend on and enjoy, like food, in exchange for seeking God and hearing His voice for direction or for clarification or confirmation or conviction in some area of your life. Who knows, you can't go out and buy that anywhere. You can always buy a Big Mac, but you can't always buy these spiritual things that if you'll fast, God may give you. Amen? Fasting shows God you're willing to put Him first, even before food. And fasting shows God that He and other things that you want to see change in your life are more important than eating another Big Mac or having another drink or whatever else pleases your flesh. I love what Paul said. Paul said, when I become weaker, talking physically, when I become weaker, then I'm made stronger. When I become weaker physically in my flesh, it allows me then to become stronger in my spirit. I would say for most Christians, not all Christians, but for most of us, I would say our flesh is stronger than our spirit. You know why? Because that's the one we feed. Whatever you feed is going to grow. Whatever you feed is going to get stronger. Whatever you starve is going to become weaker. So think about it. Think about it. Do you feed your body physical food more than you feed it prayer and fasting and spending time with God? Do you spend more time eating physical food than eating spiritual food? Do you spend more time eating at the kitchen table in a restaurant than you do being in your prayer closet? Think about it. Where are you sowing and what are you reaping? My challenge starting this year, and we're going to do a 21-day jump start to help us change some of our habits, is this year, what if you fed your spirit more and starved your flesh more? What if you said no to a few more Big Macs and said yes to a quiet time, or yes to a prayer time, or yes to Wednesday nights at 6? We have 1 hour of power prayer every Wednesday night. What if instead of eating dinner on that Wednesday, you just come and pray instead? There's only about two. Mm-hmm. Gee, Pastor Bob, that just sounds so exciting to me. I'm telling you right up front. It's your choice. You got to figure out what's worth fighting for. You're going to have to put up a fight. The enemy wants you to stay the way you are. Just keep overeating and under-reading God's word and under-praying. Just keep that way. He loves you in that posture. And I'm just saying, as your pastor and as the leader of this church, enough's enough. And let's get in this together. It's hard to do it by yourself. It's easier to have some accountability. My son, who doesn't even come to church with us, heard that I was fasting. He said, Dad, you can't go 3 days without eating any food. I said, yes, I can. He said, you want to bet? I said, yeah, I'll bet. He said, $500. Easy breezy. I said, I wasn't going to back down in front of him. Bring it on, big boy, $500. And I went to bed last night going, Lord, help me. Because I really don't want to go without food, and I really don't want to lose $500. But it's on. Like Donkey Kong. And I ain't paying him $500. Sometimes we need some accountability, amen? So, the scripture in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, says, after this, what is this? Well, if you go back in chapter 19, it tells you what this is. This was a period of time where King Jehoshaphat, he is the king of Judah, we're in a time period where the kingdom of Israel is divided. King Jehoshaphat is a great, great, great grandson, fourth or fifth generation from King David. He started out good, like most Christians do. And then he entered into some compromising, maybe for his own benefit, for his country's benefit, but he got into an area of compromise where he was partnering with the enemy nations to save his own hide, and God saw that. God did not like that. He got unequally yoked. And he repented. He owned it. In fact, in verse 19, it says he turned them back to the Lord, which was a good thing. And I believe that in that moment, in that season of his life and in history, God did not punish him the way he could have punished him in that period. And so he turned the people back to God. So when you think about what this is referring to, you might say this is referring to a period of restoration, turning back to God, something good, right? Watch this. After this, after something good happened in chapter 19, the Moabites and Ammonites and pizza bites and mosquito bites. Anytime you hear the word bites, it's normally associated with the enemy. Who knows the enemy likes to bite? The Moabites, the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Isn't that usually when the enemy attacks? It's right after something good happened. Right? Your life is all heck. You come to Christ, good, and you're not even further down the block than a few weeks, and already the enemy's already attacking you again. He just doesn't play fair. But you need to understand that. That's how he plays. Verse 2, some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. And in verse 3 it says, alarmed Jehoshaphat, there's some fear here, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a what? A fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, I'm gonna go more into that story next week. You got to come back because there's a lot of teaching principles in what they experienced. But what I want you to catch right here is, why did he call a fast? What was the purpose of calling a fast in this account? It was to seek God's help. They're under attack. They know they should not do it alone. They know the right thing to do is to turn to God when I'm in trouble, when I need direction, when I need answers to prayer, when I need a reboot, when I need a breakthrough. I need to turn to God. And it says he called a fast to seek God. In other words, don't just turn to God, but what are some things that you can do to show God that you're really serious about seeking him? And one of those things usually is sacrificing and giving up things that you enjoy. I remember when I first became a Christian, I sold insurance for a living, and one of my accounts was a gentleman's club. It's funny, we were driving to Dallas one day, and there was a billboard advertising a gentleman's club, and one of my sons, who was probably 6 at the time, said, Dad, why is that a gentleman's club? There's nothing but women on that picture. And I had to explain to my son what a gentleman's club was. Well, I had one of those as a client, and I felt conflicted now that I'm a born-again believer, going back in and doing what I used to enjoy, and that was I used to enjoy calling on that client and spending several hours there eating a free steak dinner and drinking some beer while there were girls dancing. But now my spirit was conflicted. I couldn't do that anymore. And so I remember calling that client up and just saying, you know, some things have changed in my life and I'm not going to be able to keep servicing your account, but somebody else will, right? And that was one way that I was showing God that he was more important to me than what used to bring me pleasure. And the commission on that one account, this is 30 years ago, that commission on that one account back then was about $600 a month. So 30 years ago, that's probably worth $1,000 or $2,000 today, a month. There was some I put my money where my mouth was. There was something that I was giving up that was very valuable and enjoyable, I might add, that would show God that I was serious about living for him and putting him first and cleaning up some of the messes in my life. And I believe that God saw that and honored that, and he blessed me going forward to make up for the thing I lost. And the thing what I gained from it was way more than what I gave up. And so there's a common theme that I see. When we seek God first and pray and fast, what we get out of it is much more than what we're going to have to give up to get it. But if you never try, you'll never get it, right? You don't know what you don't know. So why did he call the fast? To seek God's help. That's the same reason we do it today. We need help. We need things. We need direction. We need breakthrough. Why not seek God first and pray and just see what he can do? Amen? And let's do it together. Let's do what they did. They all came together as a nation. What if we came together as a church? Some of you are already doing this by yourself. But what if we did it as a church? What if we all came together and owned a piece of this? And some can do more than others. Some can go longer than others. Some can give up more than others. It's not all the details. It's just, can you do something that takes you in the right direction for the right reason and purpose? Amen? What if we did that? With the expectation of hearing God and seeing God work on our behalf. And at the end of the 21 days, we can look back and think of one thing that was the benefit of what I went through, of the process, right? I'm going to challenge you to journal. I'm going to journal every day. And what I'm going to journal is how I'm feeling. I'm going to journal my thoughts. I'm going to journal my needs. Not just my needs, but needs for the church, needs for my family, needs for my friends. And I'm just going to journal, and I'm going to journal. And I might write down, Lord, you know I'm not, but I feel like I'm going to die today. I haven't gone 3 days without a meal since I can't tell you how long. But I'm going to journal. I'm going to journal. And it's going to be an account of this experience. And as I do that, as I take the time to journal and I take the time to pray and read God, it's not just not eating and doing other things. It's not eating or giving up something else in place of spending time with my Bible and with my journal in an atmosphere where maybe there's some worship music playing and I'm seriously seeking God and eating something spiritual versus something with a lot of carbs and calories. It's saying no for a higher yes. It's not just skipping a meal. It's spending that time going after something that you really want. Would you consider doing that in some way with our church, if you're a member of our church? And even if you're not, you could still do this over the next 21 days. We're going to start Monday, tomorrow. See, I didn't want to give you a lot of advance notice and have you squirm and worry like I've been thinking over the last week or two. Let's just get into it. Let's just go for it. Let's just get into it. The best way to skydive is just to jump out of the plane. Okay. So here are a few notes that will help you once you've jumped out of the plane. You need to know where the ripcord is. So I'm gonna give you a few practical pointers here. Oh, for instance, I didn't get to the second passage. Look at Matthew 6 real quick. Matthew 6, New Testament. This is what Jesus says about fasting. Who knows that if Jesus says something about it, we ought to pay attention. That's the one we follow, right? That's the one we obey. It's interesting. Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. He says, but when you fast, did you catch it? What? When? Not if. But when you fast, I'm just wondering if Jesus never thought about believers not fasting. It was always part of their culture. It was always part of their history. That would be like, as a believer, if you read your Bible. No, we're going to read our Bible. It's when you read your Bible, when you pray and fast. He says, when you fast, not if, but when. Put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. What he's saying is, don't look miserable every day as you're going through this. I'm not going to get up in the morning and come in and, good morning, honey. I can't have coffee. I can't have eggs. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to shower. Might go run a few laps around the neighborhood. I said might. No, he says, don't look so miserable. Go into this with joy and expectation that something good's going to happen, because I'm giving up something good. But something better's going to happen, amen? Doesn't mean you can't talk about it. Doesn't mean you can't share it with others. And it means that you don't use this as a badge of honor to escalate yourself above other people who are choosing not to. No condemnation. This is going to be a condemnation, guilt-free, 21-day call of our church. And if you're not fasting, so be it. So be it. And in a spouse situation, y'all may decide to fast differently. So be it. If you say something negative about your spouse because they're not fasting as much or as long as you, don't do that. That's not of God. That's not the love of God. It's better they fast something than nothing at all. Amen? And one thing they can't fast is time away from you, so don't make it miserable for them. You like the way I slipped that one in there? So here are a few notes about fasting. You might take a picture. Put it in your phone, because you might need to refer back to this. Why should I fast? Just look at the list real quick. Grow closer to God. Improve your spiritual hearing. Loosen the grip that our flesh has on us. Seeking wisdom and guidance in decisions. Clarifying and confirming direction. Maybe you're fasting for special needs or challenges. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a sickness. Or on behalf of others that we love and care about. And the list could be two or three times as long. But that's a general listing of reasons that we're fasting. We're pursuing God to hear God in some areas that we need some breakthrough or some help with. And as we're doing that, we're going to give up some things that maybe dull our hearing in our seeing. Now here's the one talking point that I don't want you to miss, because this is the pivot. The why matters. If you don't have a why, don't fast. If you don't have a why am I fat? Don't fast, because it won't last. The devil's going to come up to you in the next 24 hours, and he's going to challenge you. And if you don't have a good why, you're going to cave in. Because the why is what determines the value or the worth of what you're doing. And so is going without a steak and potato for 3 weeks worth what you're desiring from God? Let's say that you have a loved one, maybe a child or a parent that's not saved. How much is that worth to you to see God do a miracle intervention in that person's life? And is that worth going without a Big Mac for 3 weeks? You're gonna have to answer that question, because you're going to get hunger pains. And you're going to feel like quitting and coming off the fast early. And if you don't have a good why behind why you're doing it, you're going to stop it. And so that why better be a pretty good why to get you through some of the pain and some of the mental games that are going to be played as you go through this process, because your flesh is going to voice its opinion. And you're going to have to be prepared in advance. No, because the salvation of one of my family members or a friend is more important than you, so shut your mouth. Is that okay, Chris? Is that okay? I think Chris has fasted more than I have. You got to have a good why. You got to have a good why. And you have between now and 12:01 a.m., if you want to start with us on Monday, to go home today and go, what's my why? What's my why? What's my why? And so maybe you don't start on Monday. Maybe you start on Tuesday or Wednesday once you've settled in your heart, why am I doing this? It might be for you might be physically sick and you've been sick for a long time. And maybe what if fasting is the key to bring healing? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? If your fast means something to you, it will mean something to God. And we read a while ago that he says, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but unto your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will what? Reward you. I don't think you're going to go 21 days and fasting something that's real meaningful and beneficial for something really important and God leave you hanging. Now, he may not bring to you what you're fasting for specifically, but he'll bring something. And that might be something you needed more than what you were fasting for. So don't play God, and don't get mad at God if it happens to be something different. When he sees your intention and your sacrifice and your dedication and your steadfastness, you thought about quitting, but you didn't. You were ready to throw in the towel after day one, but you went 3 days or 4 days. When he sees that, your effort, your sincerity, like a good father, he's going to reward you. When you say, I can't, or I won't, when God's saying you should, you're going to have to wrestle with that one. Because it ain't, you can't. It might be you won't. Even if you have a health problem, you can fast something that's not food related that doesn't affect your health at all. And if that is your thinking, that I can or I won't, you need to fast. Because you need to get that mind reworked. That's not the way God thinks. All right. We okay? I'm in this with you. I'm in this with you. All right. Here's number two. What or how should I fast? A few different ways. There's water only. No food at all. Just water only. And you can do that 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. You can do it the whole 21-day period if you want. Water only. Or there's water and juices. Again, no solid foods. There's what they call the Daniel fast, which is mostly fruits and vegetables. No meat. No alcohol, no wine. There's non-food fast, like you can fast from drinking alcohol, smoking, anything and everything. TV, video games, social media, and then some combination of the above. Again, you better have your why settled. Is quitting smoking or drinking for 21 days when you've been addicted to it for 21 years, is what you're praying for worth that? Because if it isn't, you probably won't do it. And I just believe, this would be one of those disputable matters. I believe the deeper you go, the deeper God will go. I bet God will see and meet you at whatever level of sacrifice you're willing to go. Here's a few suggestions. Nowhere in God's word does it command us to fast. So this isn't a have to. This is a want to. This will make my life better. This is between you and God, and only between you and God. And you can fast a little, you can fast a lot. You can fast a short period of time, you can fast a long period of time. Now, on the fast for 21 days, what I feel like, as I've prayed over the last week, what God's put in my heart is, I'm going to do water only for 3 days and just see where I am. And then I'm going to say, God, you want me to go another day? At some point, I might bring in then the Daniel fast. I might juice. I'm going to take it a day at a time, but I've committed to the Lord. I'm going to go 3 days. Esther fasted 3 days for her nation, for God to step in and save them, right? 3 days, if you're not used to this, 3 days, a long time. That's where I'm going to start. Some of you, you know, you're like diehard. You're going to go 21 days water only. I have a lot of respect for you. If you have a health problem, I don't recommend it, because fasting is for people that are living, not dead. So if you have a health concern, make sure you check with your doctor before you do something really radical, really, really, really long. But also I'll say this, if you have a health problem, don't let that be a scapegoat to not fasting at all. So you can fast non-food stuff, right? If you're a diabetic, maybe you don't fast food, but maybe you fast video games or pornography or drinking or something else. Drink plenty of water. Drink plenty of water. In fact, I read this 2 days ago. Your hunger pain is not always a sign from your brain that you need food. A lot of times it is you need more water. I didn't know that. So feed it water. Waterboard yourself. Drink a gallon of water and then see if you're still hungry. Drink a gallon of water, give it time to settle down there in the belly, and then see, hey, I'm not that hungry. I just needed more water. Expect physical symptoms such as headaches, if you're coming off caffeine, stomach growling. Let me remind you, you're not dying. Your stomach's just growling. Don't eat large amounts before or after your fast. So today's my birthday. And I'm not going to splurge on my birthday. I'm going to wait till after the fast. Tammy's birthday's on the 30th. I'm going to splurge on your birthday. Or maybe not. Maybe I won't even eat again. I don't know. If you feel like you need to modify your fast, do so graciously. You've not failed God. You've not failed God. But maybe make a change. Don't go back to the way you were, but maybe you modify it. Maybe you figure out that, you know, water only is, ugh. Maybe you just eat some fruit. And maybe you go without the Big Mac for 21 days. Now that is possible. Or Cokes. That is possible. Okay. Some fasting is better than no fasting. But here's the important thing. When you fast, spend time in God's Word. Spend time in prayer as you fast. You might even start off with worship. I've already got my best worship lined up. I'm gonna put on my headphones, and I'm just going to enter into some worship, and I'm going to get my heart and my mind focused on Him only. I'm going vertical. I'm going vertical, and I'm going to spend time in His Word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. And I'm going to enjoy these hours of powers that I'm going to experience. I'm looking forward to it. I've kind of joked with you a little bit. My flesh side does not think this is funny. And then how long should I fast? Again, before you choose, what's the why? What's it worth? I think the deeper you go, the deeper God will go. A one-day fast is better than none, but is that really stretching you or challenging you as a three-day fast would? Or a seven-day fast? Or a 21-day fast? Or a 40-day fast? And all through the Bible, people fasted different periods of time for different reasons. I'm going to get into some of those stories. Moses, Joshua, David, Elijah, Jesus, they fasted for 40 days for certain things. Daniel fasted 21 days. It says 3 weeks, 21 days. That's the model we're using for our church. Paul, 14 days. David, he fasted another time for 7 days. Esther and Jonah, 3 days. In fact, on your app, on your phone, your smartphone, through YouVersion, the YouVersion app, there is a 21-day fasting plan, and it'll send you a reminder, and there'll be some scriptures there to encourage you as you're fasting. I would recommend that maybe you put that on your phone or pull that up in your app. Go ahead, you know, 12:01 a.m. is coming, folks. Go ahead and pull that app today, and tomorrow when you start your fast, open that app and let that be a kickstart. We're going to put some things on our website. We're going to be sending some things out, email, that will help you and encourage you. And I might just check in with a video clip to let you know that I'm still alive. It's not time to find another pastor just yet. Just to encourage you. Iron sharpens iron, amen? Here's my hope. My hope is, and this message has come from a guy that hasn't done this a lot. Could you tell? My hope is this becomes a regular part of our year and throughout the year. And for me, it's going to become part of my new weekly schedule. Usually you only fast before some really big decisions. That's been me. Tammy and I have fasted before some really big decisions, or if the heat's been turned way up, oh yeah, let's fast. But now it's going to be more prevention than it is reaction, right? It's going to be just part of keeping my spirit and my soul healthy. And so I'm thinking about fasting a day once a month, or maybe each week fasting a meal, or I might fast. I'm praying about fasting a meal every day during the week, but not on weekends. I don't know. Who knows? It might be something that's really enjoyable. I know this. I don't need, as much as I eat, I don't need that much. I think I can get by with a lot less. And so that's what I'm going to pray about. That's what I'm going to try to incorporate. And that fasting now, yes, I read the word, and yes, I pray, but I also fast on a regular basis. And that's my knife sharpener. That fasting is what's going to keep me sharp spiritually. Amen? Keep my hearing fine-tuned and see things better spiritually. Okay. So how long, that's up to you. And you can mix it up. So as we close, what do you hear God saying to you about what you've heard today? I wrote down here, just imagine what could come from this. We don't know yet, but let's use our imagination for just a minute. Imagine going into a period of fasting, maybe for 21 days, maybe 3 days. But after a three-day fast, maybe it's 7, maybe it's 14, maybe whatever it is, on the back side of that, looking back, you have shown God that he's more important, and these things that you're hoping for is more important than feeding your mouth food or other things. And then the realization that, you know what, when I read my Bible, just the words jump off the page at me. I've read that before. It didn't mean anything. Here's what the Lord showed me when I read it this time. Or now when I'm walking around, God just starts speaking to me about, why don't you help that person? Or why don't you do this? Or have you thought? And now it's just, it's like I've taken off my earplugs and I can hear God. That's what I've always wanted. Or I can see things in the spiritual. He's telling me a natural story, but God's showing me something spiritual through the natural story. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I didn't know this was possible. I'm just wondering if fasting might make that difference. So, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you've always had. But if you want something different, if you want something better, you might pray about fasting and praying here at the beginning of a brand new year and just see what God does. Amen? So I'm calling our church to a 21-day fast. You can pick the 21 days. As far as our church is concerned, it's going to start tomorrow, January 3rd. It'll end on January the 23rd. That's 21 days. I'm going to be praying for personal things. I'm going to be praying for church things. I'm going to be praying for all of you and our leaders. You come up with your list. You come up with your list. I would recommend get a journal. Let's take this really seriously. Let's put our best effort into it so we get the best results. Amen? And here's my last comment. For the last year, we have stepped up our prayer ministry here at our church. Many of you have been involved in that. We have more people praying than we've ever had before, and that's good. And we've been praying for revival. But the Lord showed me yesterday as I was praying over this message that revival starts in our hearts with prayer and fasting. Listen. If you're not willing to start there, why are we expecting God to do anything beyond that? We'll see how bad you want to see revival come based on what you do in the next 21 days with what God's put before you. It starts in your heart. And once it starts here, it flows over into your family and then into your church. Can you imagine a church that's on fire because they've been praying and fasting, the difference in the light we can bring to our city? But you can't be a light to the city if the light hadn't caught in your heart. And I believe that this 21-day calling for our church to do this will be the igniter of something really wonderful and beautiful this year. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing us conviction as to the purpose of prayer. I pray that every one of us would say yes to bringing this discipline back into our daily and weekly lives, and that we would say yes to coming together as a church family and finding some things that we can pray and fast for. Would you speak to our hearts today? And Holy Spirit, would you equip us and prepare us and lead us through this fast with great expectation that things will be better on the other side. Blind eyes will see. Deaf ears will hear. There'll be more miracles. There'll be a greater sense of your presence and power in our lives and in our church. Because that's what we're going to desperately need in the days and the years ahead. Come and be with us and lead us through this. In Jesus' name I pray. If you're here today, before we dismiss, and you've never surrendered your heart to Christ, that's the starting point. Because I don't believe that you would say yes to a fast to give up something for God if he's not even in your life. And so whether you're here in this sanctuary today or you're watching online from a distance, if you've never surrendered your heart, if you've never said yes to Jesus, and today's the day you just feel his prompting to say, today's the day. Just can't think of a better Sunday than the first Sunday of a new year to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to just raise your hand or say amen. I want to lead you in a prayer. The prayer isn't what saves you. The prayer is your way of communicating to God what it is that you desire. Just say this with me. Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I've sinned in my life many, many times. I ask your forgiveness. I ask that you would cover my sin with your blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary almost 2,000 years ago. That's why you died, was to shed your blood for mankind's sins. That included mine. I now appropriate that blood for my sins. For my sins. And I thank you right now, by the grace of God, that you did that for me. That I'm forgiven of all my sins, past, present, and future. That my spirit now is going to be born again and made new. Your Holy Spirit now is going to live in me and guide me and lead me through the rest of my life. And it's no longer I that live, but you who live in me and through me, which is what compels me now to want to read your word and to pray and to fast and to put you first in every area of my life. Because you died for me, I now want to live for you. I want to live and fulfill the purpose that you have for my life, so that when I die and go to heaven, I'll look back and know that I lived on this earth according to the purpose that you designed for me. And that's my desire. And so I'm thankful today that you have saved me, that I'm a son and I'm a daughter of God. I'm in your family. I'm in your kingdom. One day we will dwell together forever in heaven. But until then, while I'm here on earth, I'm going to be your man or your woman. And I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to do it with joy and thanksgiving. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. What's the last song? Huh? Believe for it. Well, that's a good song. End up and sing like you're going to believe for it, and I'll see you next Sunday.